Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
Here's my mess. Oh yeah, you told me to bring you my mess too, by the way. Like he said, you said cast on you all my cares. Well, I got a truckload of them today, God. So I just want to give these to you and so that I can move on with my day? No, so that I can sit at your feet with a mind that's clear and a heart that's not weighed down. So I could just hear your voice. Because I just want to hear your voice. And I just want to hang out. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us.
Is your heart weighed down? Are you facing your struggles alone? Pastor James today teaches us how to pray honestly and assertively. God wants us to give him our messes. He told us to throw all our cares on him. Why? Because he loves us. One of the Holy Spirit's jobs is to help us talk to God the Father. In fact, when we run out of words, the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings. Sometimes just sitting silently before God in prayer is the best thing that we can do. So let's dump the cares of our hearts on him today. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Romans chapter 8 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
One day, creation will be restored, and creation will celebrate. What Paul is doing is letting us know, like, creation is groaning, and then we as believers are groaning as well. But just to finish out this creation aspect to this, he says, verse 22, "For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up until present time." Right? So earthquakes and fires, hurricanes and tornadoes and all this stuff, like these weren't present before sin. They weren't present before sin. Massive heat waves, not present before sin. It was perfect. It was paradise. But creation has been groaning in labor pains up until, and Paul said this present time, but we can even, 2,000 years down the road, we're like, it's still groaning. And the contractions are getting closer. Okay, the baby's coming is kind of the idea of like, how many natural disasters are we at now? I mean, if we're keeping track and all this stuff, it's like, it seems to be intensifying, right? Yeah, because it's supposed to. Because that means that there's a quote unquote, there's a baby on the way. For us as believers, it should just be markers indicating road signs that like, yeah, you're almost at your destination. Like Jesus is coming back pretty soon. He's coming back pretty soon. So anytime you hear of like another major natural disaster, you should pay attention to that stuff because that's a part of the birth pain. It's part of the birth pain. Creation's groaning. Verse 23, he says, "And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory," or the first fruits, as yours may say. "For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope, anticipation for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us." Amen to that, right? You're like, oh man, talking about groaning. Yeah, like step into my house every single day, right? Trying to get up and get down and all that. It's like, it's intensifying, okay, right? We as believers, there's creation that groans, and then we as Christians, as believers, we are groaning as well. Because we know this place is not our home. And these tents that we are occupying are beaten and battered. And these things can't handle his glory, so you need a new one. And you will get a new one. What will that look like? I don't know. I assume just kind of how you look now, but just sinless and perfect. But I could be wrong. I won't be disappointed. That's all I know. Somehow we'll know each other in a new heaven and new earth. Maybe because we have our brains functioning on 100% now, I guess. I don't know. But I don't care. Like, what I do know is I'm not going to be like a chubby little angel floating on a cloud picking at a harp. Like, I don't know where we got that, but that's not reality. I'm not going to be, the chubby cherub. I'm not like, no, that's not in the Bible. He didn't create you as an angel. Okay, if he wanted you as an angel, he would have made you as an angel. He made you as a human being, made in his likeness, which is amazing. You are like the top part of creation, basically, like save the best for last kind of a thing. Made all the animals, planets, stars, all that stuff, saved you for last. Saved you for last. Made in his image. Beautiful. Amazing. So what will you look like in heaven? I don't know. I assume you'll look the same, but just like, who knows, maybe you'll be jacked or whatever you've been hoping for your whole life. Like, I don't know. Who cares? Like, it's heaven. Like, who cares what we look like? It's going to be perfect. It's going to be amazing. But we know right now, like, we groan, but we have the Holy Spirit as like that first fruit. It's a glimpse of what's to come is what that means. He's just a taste of what's to come. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you've been sealed by him. You're good to go, okay? So you have the down payment, so to speak, that God's like, don't worry, I will redeem you. Don't worry, I'm coming to your rescue. Yeah, I've saved you from your sin. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are set free and you are saved. You're good. But there's another rescue that has to happen. And that's to rescue you from this broken down body and this busted world. And that's going to happen. And you having the Holy Spirit inside of you confirms that. So you can make it through the suffering. And the Holy Spirit inside of you is telling you, like, listen, we got this. In fact, why don't you just, like, get out of my way and let me do this thing, and I'll make this happen. And I'll drag you along if I have to, but we are going to end well. We will finish. And that's the Holy Spirit's like, let's go. Let's just keep going. Let's keep running. The finish line is just right there. It's just right there. You can't even imagine what lies on the other side of the finish line. So let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. Don't let this world get you down. Don't let all the news and the drama get you depressed and sad and anxious and all that stuff. Turn it off. Turn off the garbage. Turn off the lies. You know most of it's lies, right? You know that by now? Don't listen to the garbage. Let the Holy Spirit, we have him as a comforter. He's our teacher. He's our counselor. He guides you. Man, just let the Spirit just like lead you. You will make it through this world. You will make it. So we have this guarantee with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We know that we eagerly wait for Jesus to come back. And again, I don't care what your stance is on the rapture, okay? Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. It's an open-handed issue, people, okay? Like, praise God it's not a salvation-based thing, okay? Because I think some of us would be sweating a little bit, right? We'd be like, oh, man, you better do your homework then, right? But it doesn't matter because I'm going. I'm going. If I got to go through stuff to get there, we'll be fine. You'll be fine. Look at the whole Bible from start to finish. He knows how to preserve the remnant. He knows how to take care of those who are his own. And if you're stressing about it, it's because you're trying to figure out how you can do it. And you can't do it. We know the best is yet to come. The best is absolutely yet to come. Verse 24, he says, we were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need hope for it, right? You don't hope for something that you see, okay? That's what he's saying here, basically. He's like, hope is like, it's this expectation of something better, okay? We have this hope. In fact, Hebrews 6:19, it's forever, forever, please, Lord, forever, new heavenly body, forever. This reminder, you have this hope anchored in the Holy of Holies. His name is Jesus. He is our hope. But we have this. We have this hope. We know that we're going to make it. We don't need to hope for something that's like obviously right there in front of us, but this is like looking down the road. Verse 25, he says, but if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Okay? So what we don't have right now are glorified bodies. Okay? I don't know what you were telling yourself this morning. Can I burst your bubble? It's not a glorified body, okay? It's great. Whatever you're doing is great, all right? It's fantastic. Keep it going. Do whatever you got to do. But this ain't nothing compared to what's to come, okay? So we hope with anticipation and full confidence, no, man, there is something better in Jesus. There's something so much better in him. what we know outweighs what we don't know. What we know outweighs what we don't know. What do we know? We know Jesus. We know who he is. We know what he's about. We know that he will come back. We know that right now, John chapter 14, he is preparing a place for you. We know right now he is currently seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession, meaning he is praying for you nonstop. He is eagerly anticipating himself the day where he gets to come back and rescue his bride. Like, these are things we know. We know them because the Word of God says them. What we don't know is like, well, how's it all going to work out? We don't know that, but we rest in what we do know. And what we know outweighs what we don't know. So you can navigate life and all the mysteries of like, what's the next step and all that based on what you do know. Jesus is a good shepherd. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He will provide for you. You know that. So you can take any step into the unknown because you have full confidence in what you do know and who you know. This is what we have in Christ. And then a little bit into 26. I'm just going to do 26 and 27. 26, this is getting into the work, a very intimate look at the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us, okay? He says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Oh, praise God for that. If you just read through that sentence and you're like, we don't really have any of those. Well, one weakness you have is called pride, and its twin brother is called arrogance. You should reread that verse again. No, you have a lot of weaknesses. We have weaknesses, but you have the Holy Spirit who helps us in our weaknesses. For example, Paul says, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with what? Groanings. Groanings. He prays for us with groanings which cannot be expressed in words. The Holy Spirit always prays the will of God. Always prays the will of God. Okay? So you can be confident of that. Well, what's he praying for me? He's praying that the will of God would be accomplished in your life. So you have Jesus making intercession for you nonstop, and you have the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you, the third part of the triune God who dwells inside of you, who is making prayers or intercessions for you that you probably will never be aware of. You'll probably never even know what he's saying. To groan, it's a sigh too deep for words. A sigh too deep for words. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So sometimes you go before God and you're in the midst of suffering and you can't even speak. Have you been there? Yeah, that's a hard place to be. It's a hard place to be. The tears are just coming out. And you just got, I got no words. Like, I have no words. It's okay. It's okay. That's not a failed prayer meeting between you and God. That actually might be the most fruitful prayer meeting you've ever had. Because you just gave the Holy Spirit an open avenue to actually pray for you. I'm not saying he can't make intercession for us. The Holy Spirit has like this open avenue where, you know, again, I'm not saying that like in your many words in your prayer meeting between God where you're like, you don't ever really give him a chance to say anything. That's how you pray. Sometimes I'm like that. But it's almost as like you get put into this position where you have no words because he has all the words for you. And even if you're like, it's just silence. It's probably not just silence. It's probably not just silence. Because what your physical ears may not be able to pick up is a conversation between the Holy Spirit and God the Father on your behalf. There's a dynamic to prayer that I think that we just don't really understand. I think we oversimplify it sometimes. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it is simple in nature. It is absolutely one of the most precious things that we get to do as Christians is to pray to God. That is amazing. Even if you just take a step back and look at our world as a whole and different religions and all that stuff, that you have direct access to God Almighty. Anytime you want, you can enter into his throne room and have a conversation with God Almighty. That is crazy insane when you just take a step back and look at it. It's beautiful, it's intimate, it should be childlike to a certain extent, but it goes so much deeper than I think any of us will ever realize this side of heaven. and there's prayers that maybe he's storing up in heaven. I wonder how much of those are actually vocalized by us, or how many of those are vocalized by the Holy Spirit in us. You're like, I didn't even know I was praying for that. He's like, yeah, I know. You miss a lot. In all your words, you're missing quite a bit. I'm like, man, I know, right? But you have the Holy Spirit who helps us in our weakness. And I think one example, this is a very apropos example for us as Christians, because I think as a whole, Christians are very weak in prayer. I just think we are. I'm not saying that to be mean or anything like that. Here's what I know. If the worship's really good, we'll show up to service. If I'm funny, we'll show up to service. Or if I'm clever or whatever. But our prayer meetings are unattended. And I'm not talking about our prayer meetings. I'm talking about as a church, as the church of, let's say, North America. Our prayer meetings, by and large, are unpopulated. Why? That should be the most dynamic meeting of the church out of all of them. That is the most intimate setting where it's like, hey, we're just going to go before God and voice our requests to him and hear from him. That should be the most exciting part of church, is the prayer meeting. That's what Spurgeon used to tell all of his guys, right? He's like, oh, let me take you down to the furnace room, I think is the right illustration from lectures to my students. But he's like, this is where the fire starts. Like, this is where the action is. It's in the prayer meeting. So I think as a whole, as Christians, I think one of our weaknesses, and I know there's fleshly temptations that this could be speaking about. I understand all that. I get all that. But I think it's fascinating that he uses the example of praying as his example. He goes directly to that of like, hey, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Oh, yeah, let me give you an example. Your prayer life. You're like, ouch, Paul. Like, hey, you're coming at me like that, bro. Like, I pray all the time. What are you talking about? And he's like, do you? Do we? What's that prayer life like? And this isn't like a legalistic, you got to pray this way. I don't like prayers that are this way. Warren Wiersbe said, avoid pious prayers that glorify man and nauseate God. Like, I don't want to be a part of that prayer meeting where it's like these and nows. I'm like, you don't even talk like that normally. Like, you're fake. Like, the way I talk to God is how I talk to you. With reverence, not that I don't talk to you with reverence, but more so with him, right? Like, I know my place, okay? But it's just a natural thing. He's my Abba. He's my Papa. We go to him with just, hey, Lord, here I am. You know, I say this all the time, like, such is my life, so shall my preaching be. Such is my life, so shall my prayer life be. Like, Lord, it's a mess. Here's my mess. Oh, yeah, you told me to bring you my mess, too, by the way. Like, he said, you said, cast on you all my cares. Well, I got a truckload of them today, God. So I just want to give these to you and so that I can move on with my day? No, so that I can sit at your feet with a mind that's clear and a heart that's not weighed down so I could just hear your voice. Because I just want to hear your voice. I just want to hang out. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He's been made available to you so that you have this amazing interaction between you and God the Father that goes deeper than any level that you or I will, I think, will ever be aware of. Press in on prayer. Make prayer a priority. And yes, if you're praying before meals, praise God. That's good. That's a good practice. Pray before bed. Excellent. But pray. Like, just, man, carve out some time. You do whatever you can between you and the Lord. And even in times where you're like, I don't know what to pray. Perfect. Perfect. Then don't say anything at all. And just say, hey, Lord, Abba, Papa, man, here I am. And I can't even speak, but here I am. And I'm just going to sit at your feet. I'm just going to sit at your feet. Holy Spirit, would you please speak on behalf of me, for me, because you search the heart, you search the mind, you know me better than I know myself. Will you please intercede on my behalf during this time? And I'm just going to sit here and be quiet. I think we need more times like that. Here's the benefit. Verse 27, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. The Spirit always prays the will of God. He always prays the will of God. We'll get into what that looks like with like some of those prayers for you look like concerning the will of God? What's God's will for my life? We'll get into that as we close out Romans 8. The Holy Spirit, He knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. And He is able to speak to the Father. It says He pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. You can trust that the Father hears the Spirit. He's making intercession on behalf of you. You have the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ, who is making intercession on behalf of you as well. I mean, you have the whole triune Godhead for you. For you. And this life's not even about you. It's not. It's about Him. And He's like, you're my kid. I love you. I'm going to give you everything you could possibly need to not just to finish and not just to survive, but to actually to excel and to like to win this race. Okay, we're not just like, oh, I hope I'm just going to kill myself running this race like, and I hope I finish. No, 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 no. The Holy Spirit's like, no, no, we will finish. We will finish. And the more we learn to surrender to Him, the more we learn to rely on Him, the Spirit that dwells inside of you, greater is He who lives in you than he who lives in the world. The more we begin to realize that and grab hold of those truths, man, we will finish. You will finish this race. So the Lord loves you. Let me just remind you three things. He's freed you from the penalty of sin. If you're a Christ follower, you've been free from the penalty of sin, which is death. Okay? You've been freed from the power of sin. Okay, it has no more control over you. It's not your master anymore. It's not. You have a new master, Jesus. And He's given you the Holy Spirit to give you the power and the ability to say no to the things you used to say yes to. And you're going to make mistakes along the journey. You're going to say yes to things you shouldn't say yes to, right? And you're going to say no to things you should have never said no to. Because that goes both ways. Just so we're clear about this, I have grieved the Holy Spirit in my life by telling Him no. I have done that. Okay, I know what that feels like, and it is horrible. So I know what it feels like to say yes to things I shouldn't say yes to, and no to the things I shouldn't say no to. But He will pick you back up, put you on the track, and say, let's keep going. Let's keep going. And eventually, one of these days, you will be set free from the presence of sin. No more sin. No more sorrow. No more heartbreak. No more tears. No more pain. No more separation. No more any of that stuff. That is what is waiting for you and myself on the other side of the finish line. We know this. So let's run with that encouragement. Let's finish this race really well. Last little verse I want to read to you guys from 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. You can make it through it. You can. Through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, you can make it through whatever suffering you might be experiencing now or whatever suffering might be on your horizon. But you can make it through it. And the Lord wants you to make it through it. Man, if you're like going through something right now, like you're suffering right now, let's abandon normal Christianity that we're used to in Western culture. Let's divorce ourselves from that ideal of I'm good. If you are going through something, you're not weak for asking for somebody to pray for you.
Have you heard these words before? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These are the words found in Romans 12:2. Simply put, don't do as the world does, do as Jesus does. As you sacrifice doing life the way the world tells you to, and you focus on how God says to do things, you start to look and live more and more like Jesus. And as the verse states, your life will be a living testament to what's good and acceptable and perfect. We hope that today's word brought some encouragement to your soul, and it deepened your faith in Jesus. If today's message raised some questions for you, please reach out to us by going to breadforthebroken.com. Clicking on the contact tab at the top of the page will get you started on a line of communication with us. We look forward to hearing from you. In case you missed it, it was breadforthebroken.com. Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle comes out of Calvary Galveston, a church that's dedicated to speaking the name of Jesus into every life that tunes into this radio broadcast. If you're not in the area to spend time with us on Sunday mornings, would you go to breadforthebroken.com to live stream our service? We promise your faith will grow. While you're there, and if the Lord leads you to do so, there's a specific spot for donations of any size. We're so grateful that you took the time to be with us today. Thanks for listening, and we trust that you'll be back for more here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of humanity.